Hello and welcome to Radio Free Thinker on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. My name is Ethan, your free-thinking historian.
And I'm Don, your political science philosopher.
And I'm Rob, cognitive psychologist and fan of biology.
Biology, eh?
Yes.
Why are you a fan of biology, Rob?
Well, I'm actually a fan of evolutionary biology, and as some of you may know, today is the 150th anniversary of the publication of Charles Darwin's On the Origin of Species.
You mean the theory that he stole from Alfred Wallace?
Alfred Russell Wallace. Actually, I believe they developed it sort of independently, but in communication with each other, and Darwin was spurred to publish it when he heard that Wallace or someone else, a competitor, was going to publish it. And he was like, oh, I got to put this out. And I believe there's a rather famous quote out there where Darwin compares publishing On the Origin to confessing a murder.
Why would he be so reticent to publish such a what's become a landmark in human society, human culture?
Well, a lot of philosophers and people involved in politics, especially sort of the creationist evolutionist debate, believe that it was because it sort of put aside one of the most powerful and convincing arguments for the idea of a creator, of a god, namely that something had to put all of us here. And he put forth this you know, eloquent argument that, well, it could have arisen through natural process, through natural selection, and for a while people sort of ignored it and said that, you know, this is not going to work. Although there were several people, as Darwin's bulldog Thomas Huxley, who argued vehemently on behalf of Darwin. But in the future, when genetics was discovered, and it seemed to match perfectly with the idea of mutation, genetic mutation coupled with natural selection, seems to beautifully explain pretty much all of modern biology.
You were talking about mutation, natural selection, but I mean, didn't he get this on some tropical island where he might have been, you know, heat stroke or something? Is there any real proof that what he saw then is true now?
Well, when he was working as a naturalist, he went on a ship that was traveling around the world called the HMS Beagle as the ship's naturalist, and he kept a diary. And the ship stopped at the Galapagos Islands, and there he saw Darwin's finches. I mean, they weren't named Darwin's finches then, otherwise that would have been a rather strange coincidence. But he took notes and noticed that the finches that lived on different islands had seemingly adapted their beak shapes and their flight patterns and their songs to the living conditions of those very different islands. And this, along with the other things that he saw on his trip on the HMS Beagle, coupled with geological knowledge that had been put forth by other scientists at the time, led him to the theory of evolution, that there, one, there was enough geological time to do these things, and two, there seemed to be clear evidence that animals that lived in different areas had adapted to live for those areas, their niche. And so what I thought was interesting about this is that just recently, I think it was published in Nature, two researchers, a husband and wife team, Peter and Rosemary Grant, have been living for the past 36 years on the Galapagos Islands studying Darwin's finches, taking meticulous notes over which finches live on which islands, their morphological features, their songs, their breeding habits, and things like that. And they witnessed, over a relatively short period of time, the birth of a new species, vindicating, some might say, Darwin's theory of speciation.
You mean, so this is like the first time they've ever seen something like this?
Well, we've had quite a lot of evidence that supports the idea of speciation via adaptation to different niches. But the thing that's interesting about this is that it's such a long length of time, 36 years of data meticulously taken, and on the very finches that inspired Darwin's theory.
So it's another piece of the puzzle. I mean, we've already got mountains and mountains of evidence for evolution. This is just another great piece to demonstrate.
And the fact that it's on the Galapagos with the finches is warm and fuzzy. It's coming home again.
It's really quite convincing, you know. They found there was a ground finch that flew to the island that they lived on from a neighboring island in 1981, and they noted that it had an unusually large, wide beak and a very unusual song. And they tracked its mating habits and found that finch fathers passed their songs to sons. And after a few generations, they found that these songs were somehow causing local finches to ignore or somehow... They weren't mating with the local finches. They were mating only with finches that had the same weird song and the weird wide beaks. And after several generations, they found that this created a totally new line of finches.
That's excellent. Well, our listeners tuning in, I hope most of you know that we're right in the middle of CITR's Fun Drive, and this is our second Fun Drive episode. We're really eager to get your donations if you guys want to support CITR, and we have a whole bunch of reasons why someone might want to support CITR.
This year, the sort of theme behind this Fun Drive is Own Your Frequency. We like CITR because it gives a voice to the public. It is funded by you guys, the listeners, and it gives you a voice. And to that end, I went around a couple of days ago around UBC and other places and recorded people just talking about what they thought of skepticism, what they were skeptical of. So throughout the show, we're going to be playing a few of those snippets. And if you want to be heard and you want to be involved in the station, please donate.
So why don't we go to one of those quick snippets right now, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Hi, what's your name?
Gal.
And what do you do?
I'm a student at the University of British Columbia studying biochemistry.
So I'm with Radio Freethinker, and we're going around asking people what they think of skepticism and skeptics.
Well, I think skepticism is just a general tool for filtering out all the confusing information in the world. So if you automatically don't believe everything, then analyze things and figure out which ones you do believe, then it's better than automatically believing everything and figuring out which ones you don't believe. So I personally am a skeptic.
So it's kind of a filter for bad information?
Yeah, and I think it's just a better way of living because I'm less confused, I think. I mean, I'm still pretty confused, but...
All right, thank you.
And we're back on Radio Free Thinker. So that was just one explanation of what skepticism means to our listeners.
And it's so important to get that skeptic voice out there. I mean, we are the only skeptic radio show in BC. We're one of the very few in Canada. And if you want to support the our program or CITR and the public programming that it does, phone in right now at 604-822-8648 or donate online to citr.ca/donate.
And you can win some fantastic skeptically themed prizes. So why don't I just give our listeners a heads up on that. So you can win with a donation of $101.09. You will get a subscription to Skeptical Inquirer and Free Inquiry. Those are the two magazines that are sort of sponsored and done by CFI and Center, or PsyCop, I guess is the abbreviation. Amazing magazines, and I mean, really, you can't pass this up. These are two subscriptions. I mean, come on, these are fantastic.
And they're wonderful. I mean, people always say, how do I filter out, you know, the crap from things like Fox News or whatever and get to real issues? And these magazines help. They're one of the resources that you can use to find out what's the story behind the story. What is the skeptical view of things?
Exactly.
I have an issue of it in my backpack right now. It's all about skepticism 2.0, the rise of a grassroots skeptical movement on the internet and in radio stations like this one.
Excellent. So perfect for our listeners. But maybe you want a different kind of reading material. Maybe you want to read something by, I don't know, Richard Dawkins. Well, if you donate $60, you can get a copy of Dawkins' brand new book, The Greatest Show on Earth, all about evolution. We were just talking about evolution, too. How about that?
Wow.
And he has come up with a huge list of arguments and scientific explanations for why evolution works and why we believe it is, in fact, a fact right now today. So how about that one? How about that? Now, suppose you're more into like going out, getting some drinks, hanging out, perhaps going to Skeptics in the Pub, which, by the way, happens tonight at the Railway Club. Maybe you want to donate another $60 and get our Railway Club prize pack. You will get a T-shirt, a membership, and a coupon for a free night at the Railway Club. Fantastic, especially if you like to go to the Railway Club often for Skeptics in the Pub or Café Scientifique. Now, maybe you don't want to donate $60. You want to donate $30. Well, we got you covered right there as well, because you will get a copy of the music of Radio Free Thinker, all the great songs that we play with the skeptically themed ironic meanings and all that kind of fun stuff. You will also get a DVD audiobook collection full of great works by Carl Sagan and Who else?
Carl Sagan, Richard Dawkins. We have Christopher Hitchens on there.
Michael Shermer's there.
Howard Zinn, Gore Vidal, a huge variety of things. We even got a few courses on how to argue and how to be a critical thinker from The Teaching Company, which is a great audiobook company. And you know what? For the next half hour, anyone who pledges anything over $15 and mentions that, I'll throw in a copy of that audiobook to you. Just phone in right now and pledge at least $15. There are students out there, you'll love these books. These are so good for students out there who might want to pledge. So phone in for the next 20 minutes. We're going to offer that to anyone who pledges more than $15, this great audiobook DVD.
In fact, not just over the next 20 minutes. If you're listening to the podcast, please go online to CITR.ca/donate or call into the station and please donate if you like the show and the station.
Exactly, exactly. We'll also be included in that CD prize pack. We'll also have a membership to the UBC Freethinkers, which is UBC's campus skeptical group, and you'll meet lots of great skeptics like ourselves and the other students here at UBC. So
you can share your personal skeptic stories.
And you'll also get in on events that they occasionally will sponsor.
Now, suppose you're a wealthy skeptic, and you're like, well, I want all that stuff. No worries. Donate $300 or more, you will get all of it. And how can you say no to that?
How possibly could you say no to that?
So please, call in 604-822-8648 or 604-UBC-UNIT or online at citr.ca/donate. Donate some money. Help us stay on the air. Help out CITR. Help out Radio Free Thinker.
Make it your station.
And you know, as part of this special, we're going to start something interesting. We're going to start Death Watch 2009.
That sounds really, really ominous. What?
Yours truly, Don, your philosopher and political science guy, I got vaccinated both for the H1N1 and the seasonal flu.
Gasp!
I'm so sorry.
Well, you know, from what I've been reading, especially in our arch nemesis paper, the Georgia Strait, which is a wealth of bad science and bad whatever, apparently my life is at risk and I have maybe days left to live. So, donate. But but no, so I got vaccinated, and, you know, I mean, there was nothing. My arms are a little tender where they were, but, I mean, they're supposed to. The whole point is to initiate an immune reaction so you build up the proper antibodies.
You heard it here first on Radio Free Thinker. Don's got a little prick.
I got two of them, but who's bragging?
That's fantastic. Well, speaking of... No, speaking of the Georgia Strait... so we all know the Georgia Strait is not the the go-to paper for health. Well, I don't even say paper. They're not even officially part of the BC Press Association. But let's just use that term generously, shall we? They've published another great piece of steaming pseudoscience for consumption here in Vancouver.
When will they stop?
Never, I don't think. This piece is written by Alex Rosen. And it's about the H1N1 vaccine. And this piece seems to have basically three main points. One, the vaccine has scary things inside of it. Two, the vaccine isn't necessary because H1N1 isn't that dangerous to begin with. And the third sort of point is kind of this meandering thesis running through the paper about, we don't really understand how the vaccine was tested. And they keep saying things like, it's got adjuvants in it, and that sounds scary. And it was tested on rats. But then it also was tested on mice. And humans aren't mice, and humans aren't rats. This is crazy. This is madness. And, you know, I mean, I think we've mentioned in the past sort of the desperate need we have to test things on animals. But that even when you test something on an animal, it's not a human substitute. And scientists are not idiots. They realize this, and they're not going to say, okay, well, it worked on rats. You know, it must therefore work on humans, right? Right. So there's a few other interesting aspects here. And I got a lot of information from a recent talk by Dr. Robert Tarswell that he did at the UBC Free Thinkers about ingredients. And so I'm not going to obviously summarize the whole article, but there are a few points here that we can bring up and our panel can talk about as well. One, have you guys heard about this aluminum salt in a vaccine? Apparently may have caused Gulf War syndrome because soldiers in the Gulf War got vaccines and 20 years later they got the Gulf War syndrome. So clearly this one vaccine must have caused this condition 20 years down the road.
That seems reasonable.
Yeah, no, you know, and actually with that, I was watching, listening to one of my podcasts, and they were talking about smallpox and the vaccination for smallpox and how the Army has been vaccinating soldiers even in the Gulf War because they were worried that there might be... And the smallpox vaccine does have a lot of bad side effects. The idea is there's a balance to it. But, I mean, these Gulf War people were given a lot of stuff above and beyond a vaccination for anthrax, vaccination for other elements. There was depleted uranium. So to single out this one small little element, which I believe has been used in a lot of other cases, and Gulf War syndrome I don't think is a common thing in vaccinations in general.
No, I mean, it's ridiculous, actually. I mean, he says, okay, it contains aluminum. Ooh, aluminum. Well, you know what? You will get more aluminum in the amount of air that you breathe on a daily basis. So if you breathe today, you will get aluminum.
So everyone out there, stop breathing or you'll die from aluminum.
That's not to say that vaccines will never give you adverse reactions. I mean, you are putting in a crippled version of a flu into you. You will get a little feeling sick. But also, recently I saw a report, I think it may have been the Vancouver Sun or the Globe and Mail or something like that, but they had to recall one batch of the flu produced by GlaxoSmithKline because I think six people had adverse allergic reactions to it. So it is possible that one batch here and there, now and then, might cause a reaction, but it's going to not kill lots of people or cause Gulf War syndrome.
Well, and even that, and we mentioned this last show, that in Canada, as of last week, I'm not sure what the current numbers are, they're probably a lot more, but there was over 6.6 million inoculations given out. And out of those, there were seven people who had adverse reactions, everything from a sore arm to one person who may or may not have been contributed to a death. But at the same time, there was 198 people who died from the flu,
yeah,
from the H1N1 flu. So again, you know, if the odds of something bad happen are 1 in 6 million, anyone who crosses the street, you should go to a statistician and find out what the odds are of getting hit by a car. They're a hell of a lot higher than that. And I don't know, that argument itself seems so stupid.
Yeah. Well, my big problem with the whole argument about, like, how dangerous is the disease, you need the vaccine, they're not even reporting the facts correctly. This article was published on the 19th, I believe. Since November 10th, there have been 202 new severe cases of H1N1 in BC alone. They did not report that.
Where are you getting these stats from?
These stats came, I believe, from the BC Center for Disease Control.
Oh, well, that explains it. Because, see, they're in on the conspiracy.
Oh, right, yeah.
Right? Because they represent the medical establishment, and we all know.
And the pharmacological companies, like GlaxoSmithKline.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, they throw out every, you know, ridiculous statement. I mean, they talk about mercury, thimerosal. A standard vaccine might have 5 micrograms of ethyl mercury. A tuna sandwich will have 60. So skip a tuna sandwich once every 12 years. You should be fine. You know, I mean, even the fact that, like, autistic children have been shown to have less mercury in their systems than non-autistic children should give you a major heads up that there is no connection between mercury and autism or any neurological disorders.
You know, and actually, that's another thing that really boils my kettle when I think about it, is the whole autistic thing, right? They keep pointing that the number of diagnosed cases of autism and autistic spectrum disorder has increased in the last, you know, 50 years or whatever. But part of that is just our screening has become better. What's defined as autistic has expanded. So it's not that there is more cases. It's just we're identifying more cases. It's like saying there's only so many cows in the world, and then you discover Africa, and you go, oh, look, there are a whole bunch more cows. That must mean there's a boom in cowness. But no, you just discovered a population that was being ignored. I mean, something like Asperger's syndrome wasn't even diagnosed as a real illness until the 70s, you know? And I mean, so this just drives me insane when they say, oh, it causes autism. No.
The Georgia Strait should be aware of that, too. This is totally irresponsible journalism. Journalism in quotation marks. Again, they are not officially a newspaper. I can't say that enough. You know, I mean, they mentioned things like... This is a fun one. There's a chemical in the vaccines that they throw out, scary name, polysorbate 80. You guys ever heard of that?
It sounds like something that, you know, might be found in candy
or Twinkies.
Close. It's an ice cream. So maybe if you skip an ice cream cone, you should be able to get the vaccine. I'm sure that many children have indulged in an ice cream now and then. So, you know, I mean, they throw these scary sounding words. They try to make it sound like it's, oh, no, don't get the vaccine. It's full of acid and aluminum and saquine and blah, 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 blah. You know, I mean, just like, come on.
Well, you know, another thing, too, that I heard that drove me crazy is the idea that when you get the vaccine, that you're somehow mixing alien DNA with your body. And well, vaccines don't work that way. I mean, the cells that it may infect die. And the ones that it doesn't, you're no more mixing your DNA than you are when you eat a steak and you're somehow mixing your cow DNA with your body.
Right. Well, why don't we go to another one of our skeptical talks? And here it is.
Hi, what's your name?
Lucy.
And what do you do?
I'm taking a PhD in counseling psychology.
So I'm with Radio Freethinker, and we're going around asking people what they think of skepticism and what they might be skeptical of. So what do you think of this sort of skepticism movement?
Is there a skepticism movement? What do you mean by the movement? Sorry.
So the sort of large groups of people who are forming skeptic clubs on campuses or skeptical organizations or magazines.
Yeah, I like it, actually. I think it provides, one, I find them often humorous, which I like, and I think it provides like a forum or like a platform for the, I don't know, the paranormal and the unusual and just an alternative point of view.
Is there anything that you're skeptical of? Tough question, I know.
It is actually tough. I'm skeptical of H1N1 vaccine. I don't think I'm going to get one.
Why not?
I just don't feel very convinced that, you know, that the strand of flu I'm going to get is going to be the H1N1 strand, that they've developed it correctly, they've had time to understand the disease, so I'm just skeptical that it actually stops you from getting the majority of the flus you're going to get anyways.
All right, thank you very much.
Thanks.
And we're back on Radio Freethinker on our Fun Drive episode.
You know, it was bizarre what she was saying there about how she doesn't think it's going to happen. And I think one of the problems we have when it comes to vaccination illnesses in general, you get polio, etc., is that these diseases at one time were endemic, that they were quite common. People died. You go back 100, 150 years ago.
You go back 50 years ago and tons of people were in iron lungs because of polio.
Exactly. And the fact that it doesn't exist today, or it's very rare, is because we do have vaccinations. And vaccinations has reduced it. And it's like she was sitting there saying, well, I don't think it's going to be a big thing. Well, the fact that you don't get a vaccination can make it a big thing. There's a correlation, direct correlation there.
The other thing that she mentioned was she was talking about she wasn't sure that they did enough research or did enough development of the vaccine. And actually, I think there's a newspaper article that talks just about how the vaccines are developed.
Yeah, I was actually kind of surprised. I mean, this is not a bad piece of science reporting right here in the Vancouver Sun. And it's an article basically about how the vaccine is created and kind of criticizing, well, not criticizing, but reporting that the U.S. system is pretty far behind the European model for making vaccines. For those of you who don't know, basically we use eggs, chicken eggs, and it takes about 6 to 9 months to produce a vaccine out of these eggs, and you need like millions of eggs because you need millions of vaccines. The European method is about 4 to 6 weeks less and a lot more efficient, and they're already working on new future methods that could reduce it to as little as 6 weeks.
So when you say that the Americans are behind the Europeans, does that mean I should be worried about my vaccination?
Well, you're getting your vaccine from, I believe, the Canadian companies you mentioned. The first one was GlaxoSmithKline.
There might be some produced by some other American.
I believe they're European, though, aren't they?
GlaxoSmith? Yeah, probably. Yeah. Who knows who actually owns them?
But so the only difference is it time, or is there some
time
other?
And just the technology that goes into it, and you know. I think that a lot of this, the reason why there actually is a huge kind of split between the U.S. technology and the European technology, and I guess you guys probably could guess it, is the anti-vax movement is so strong in the U.S. I heard from a recent talk by Dr. Robert Tarswell that making vaccines has become a liability for drug companies. There's really only like two or three that do it, and they get a lot of bad press for it. There's a lot of reason to want to increase, you know, vaccine efficiency, to increase the technology, but it's such a loaded word. Getting funding for this is such a negative PR move. Building a factory is such a negative PR move that the technology is stagnating. And to profound danger, I mean, we've all heard about the shortages and the fact that vaccines are not getting out on time, that they're getting having to be disposed of because they're not properly prepared. This is clearly a huge problem. And the idea that technology is lagging behind is not acceptable.
Well, you know, actually, when I went and I got my shot today, one of the things that struck me was how slow the process was. And part of the reason why it was slow is they had this disclaimer form that you had to sign off on. And the disclaimer form, as we know from our research in the science, isn't real, but it says, you know, are you allergic to eggs? Are you allergic to thimerosal? Are you allergic? And I'm going, well, these are all not important questions, but there is such a pressure put on by quacks like the Georgia Strait and their medical reports, sorry, quote-unquote medical reports, that create this spirit of insecurity that's totally false.
Exactly. Well, why don't we go to a quick recorded bit that Rob did, and we'll be back with more on Radio Freethinker.
Hi, what's your name?
My name is Roberta.
And what do you do?
I am an artisan soap maker.
So I'm with Radio Freethinker, and we're going around asking people some questions about skepticism. So what do you think of skepticism?
I think it's been around as long as people have been able to think. I don't know if it's necessarily healthy for them or not, but it's certainly in high supply today.
Are you skeptical of anything?
Oh, yes.
So give an example. What are you skeptical of?
TransLink executives, grading on a curve, and
tricky question, huh?
Yeah, the largely controlled corporate media of Vancouver with few free-thinking independent stations.
That's why we love CITR.
I love CITR too.
All right, thank you very much.
And if you also love CITR, then you should donate to the station at 604-822-8648 or 604-UBC-UNIT. Please donate, and we have a number of prizes. For $15, we'll get a DVD of audiobooks. For $30, I think we have
We have a music CD, the music of Radio Freethinker, the audiobooks, membership in the UBC Freethinkers. For $60, you have your choice of Dawkins' new book or our Railway Club prize pack. For $101, you have the subscription to Skeptical Inquirer and Free Inquiry.
And on top of that, you get the wonderful swag that CITR itself is offering. And they're offering at $30 a Friends of CITR, which is discounts, $60 an umbrella, which I understand Rob has one and is quite taken by it. And for $101.09, a limited edition t-shirt. So above and beyond the prizes that we're offering, this is offered to by CITR.
And very worthy, I think, is CITR and Radio Freethinker. You know, if you're listening and you are out of your mind enraged by the Georgia Strait, I thank you for your outrage. And if you want to channel that outrage, why not support an organization like CITR that gives a voice to skepticism here in Vancouver that is sorely needed, by the way? We're letting the Georgia Strait hog the independent news spotlight. We're independent. We're news, you know, and we're not promoting dangerous pseudoscience.
Exactly. You know, and I mean, we offer the independent voice. That last recording that we had said it so great, right? That we need independent voices, but it's just not independent voices. It's rational, intelligent, independent voices.
Exactly.
Radio Free Thinker represents that here on CITR. As we mentioned before, it's BC's only skeptical radio program, one of the very few in Canada. It needs your support. Put your money where your mouth is. Phone in right now to 604-822-8648 or citr.ca/donate. And pledge today. Anything is good. We will accept anything you have to offer. The more, the better. But please, if you only got $5, pledge $5. $15, we start giving you bonuses for calling in. But phone in, give whatever you can. It's a worthy cause. We're a worthy program. And you need us on the air. You need CITR on the air. Phone in now.
And we need you. And I have a couple of more stories to talk about, but unfortunately, we're just about out of time. So is there anybody wants to bring anything up that's coming up soon? Or
well, for our listeners, they should know already that Skeptics in the Pub is happening tonight at the Railway Club. I believe at 7:30. It's going to be really great night, obviously with Darwin's 150th anniversary of Origin of the Species.
So. I heard someone was talking earlier today about the creationists handing out the edited versions of it. For people who don't know, it was a copy of On the Origin with an extra 50 pages of introduction by a creationist added in that's full of nonsense. And they were supposed to be handing them out today, but no one could find them anywhere. Someone at Skeptics in the Pub might be there with a few copies. I don't know.
So definitely, that's going to be a lot of fun. I hope everybody tunes in for that. Any other major announcements?
I don't think there's anything. I do believe they're Friday. There's supposed to be an event.
Skepticism and the X-Files?
Yes.
At the Vancouver Library with the actor who played the cigarette-smoking man from the X-Files.
William B. Davis.
I do believe, though, there's a donation required at the door of
$6. $6. If you're a CFI member, you get in free.
Wow. CFI membership for students is cheap, but pledge to us first. We're more important, although we're all on the same cause.
Although we really appreciate them giving us the magazine subscriptions. Thank you, CFI. Well, we're right out of time, so why don't we say goodbye? This is Ethan, your freethinking historian, saying please donate, please support CITR.
This is Don saying eyes open, minds on.
This is Rob, cognitive psychologist, saying good night and see you tonight.
Okay, I'm not playing any more music for anybody, and that includes myself. Until somebody calls and pledges some money so that our station does not have to go off the air.
Why should people support CITR? Lots of unique music, independent news, and arts programming that isn't heard anywhere else but here on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. Call 604-822-8648 to pledge your support.
I mean, why should I bother to play records for you if you're not even willing to call up and pledge a couple of dollars? A couple of dollars. It's not that much money.